let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. What is the worst thing to say to a worrying friend who is waiting for their COVID test results? Okay, what's the worst thing you could say to a person who just got their test, they're waiting, and they're worried? Any guesses? What? Yeah, that's not very good. Any other thoughts? Anybody have a clue? You can put on that first slide when you find it. Don't sweat. No, this is what you tell a person if they're really worried. They just got their COVID test. They're waiting and they're really worried. This is the worst thing you could tell them. Be positive. Yes, that's it. But there are a lot of things today that are making a lot of people very worried. And coronavirus is among those things. But someone said that you don't need to worry about coronavirus. Don't get too worried about it. It won't last long because it was made in China. So, worry. Jesus told us not to. We should be careful. We should be smart. Don't worry. And one of his closest disciples, Peter, tells us the same thing. And as we continue going through 1 Peter, and by the way, I'm looking forward to, as we conclude 1 Peter, I think we'll conclude it next week, just some real powerful things. And then after that, we get into 2 Peter, which is really hot. It's an awesome, powerful epistle. But as we go back to it, there's a verse that I want to focus on. We already read it. We already talked about it a little bit. And it's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. And it says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Say mighty. Under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Take your Bibles or your phones or whatever you use as your Bible. And those of you online, do the same thing. Grab your Bible and say this with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. And this morning my mind is alert. My spirit is awake. And I'm ready to receive the word of the Lord. And I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. And Lord, help Pastor Joe to keep it real simple. Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So we talked about this verse. Actually, we touched on it last week. And it was in the context as I was talking about spotting a wolf. You know, that we need to spot a wolf because there are wolves in sheep's clothing. There are some leaders in the body of Christ, that prophets, teachers, etc., that are false. They're not for real. And we need to be able to discern them. If you missed that, catch last week's message. But this was in that context. And I talked to, there's a section in here about submission. That when you do find a good shepherd, you need to be submitted. There needs to be, and we need to submit to one another. We don't like rules. Americans don't like rules. We like to just do whatever we want. But the Bible talks about being submissive and having that humble heart. And sometimes, even when you have a good shepherd and you find a good church, etc., it's hard to submit because you've been hurt in the past and it's hard to follow certain instructions and directions. And this was to remind us, and he says, after he talks about this, he says, you know, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So there is a chief shepherd, that one of the comforts that you can have as you are following the Lord and following and being a part of a church, etc., that there is this chief shepherd, maybe your shepherd, even if he or she is a good shepherd, is not, you're not happy about this or that, or, you know, it's not perfect. There is the perfect one that we can always go to. And so that was the context of this. But I think this is a general principle that can apply to everything because God does care for us. He wants us to cast our cares upon him. And what is the casting of our cares upon him? It's prayer. Prayer. He invites us to prayer, and I know I talk about it a lot, but that's because the Bible talks about it a lot. And we in the American church, though, don't do it enough. And I'm talking about mostly not our own prayer lives, although that's important, that's foundational. But my heart is really gripped for corporate prayer, together prayer, the church coming together to pray, prayer meetings, because I think they're so important. I was just thinking as we were worshiping, and I was challenging you, encouraging you to just lift your voices. All of a sudden, I had this picture in my mind. What if Jesus just showed up? What if he suddenly manifested himself right here as you were worshiping? You think he'd be like, what'd so-and-so say on Facebook? Oh, Jesus is here. Cool. You think he'd be doing that? No, I think he'd probably be like, I would just begin to cry and just fall at his feet. I'd run to his feet and fall at it and just, oh, Jesus. Yet he says when two or more are gathered in his name, he is there. He does, and I do believe, I honestly believe that he goes to every church. He's God. He's able to do it somehow, that he visits every church every Sunday morning and he walks. And he's doing an inspection of his church. And so remember that next time we worship. Because I do believe he comes. But there's power in that corporate, the gathering together. And especially in prayer. But personal prayer is so important too. And it's interesting, if you look at the scriptures, I want you to notice how much the Bible and the New Testament talks about prayer. Matthew 5:44 says, but I say to you, Jesus is speaking, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Matthew 6:6, but you, when you pray, go into your room, when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Anybody want to be rewarded openly by God? Go to him in prayer. Matthew 6:9, in this manner, and he taught us how to pray. Therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, and so on. You should know the Lord's Prayer. 9:38 says, therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest, to cast out laborers, send forth. We need to pray for laborers. For God to send laborers. We need an associate pastor here. We need a youth pastor here. We need a children's pastor here. You say, well, we're a little church. We can't do it. If we pray, it can happen. God gave us this worship, awesome worship team because we prayed for it. We started praying specifically. Remember, for a long time, it was just one guitarist and all our wonderful singers. And then he left, and so I had to become the guitarist. But now look what we have. We started praying specifically for that. Pray for laborers and, of course, evangelists, etc. 14:23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray, Jesus. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. So Jesus had to pray. Do we think we can make it? If Jesus had to pray, we think we can make it without prayer? I don't think so. I believe it was in prayer that God gave him his instructions, told him what was going to happen, the people he was going to run into, the ministry he was going to have. I believe God just blessed him and strengthened him in those times. Matthew 17:21. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And this is talking about demonic possession and that casting out of demons. Sometimes the stronghold is so strong that only prayer and fasting will bring about the deliverance. Matthew 21:13. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of teaching. But you, what? My house shall be called a house of worship? Prayer. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Matthew 21:22. We sang that. That was awesome. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. Maybe we don't pray enough because we don't believe enough. Come on, let's believe. Let's believe God for some awesome things. Matthew 24:20, and pray that your flight may not be in winter on the Sabbath. He's talking to the Jewish people that they could actually pray for end times events to work to their favor, prophetic things to work to their favor. That's powerful if you can do that prayer. Then Jesus came with them into a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. Again, Jesus had to pray. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. One of the best ways to overcome temptation is to have a prayer life, to go to the Lord in prayer. Matthew 26:53, or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? This is when he was before Pilate, and Pilate's like, aren't you going to defend yourself? What are you doing? He says, you know, I could pray right now and the legions of angels have come down. That's how powerful prayer is. I believe that when we pray, angels are released. But Jesus had to do that. He prayed. So something really struck me Thursday with all the crises we have been going through. I was thinking, why don't we pray then? Why is the American church not praying? And I thought about, it came to my mind back when President Obama was president and how in one fell swoop he had changed the very definition of an institution that has stood for 6,000 years, if not longer. At least 2,000 years in the Christian era of marriage is something between a man and a woman. And yet, in one fell swoop, he pronounced that it's different. 2,000 years of Christian tradition. And the Word of God, more importantly than tradition. And, you know, we love everybody, and I understand people go through struggles and stuff, but in the promotion of something that's not biblical, it's tragic. And I remember that day when it happened, and I thought, we need to call a sacred assembly. We need to go weep between the porch and the altar, as the book of Joel says. We need to get on our faces and, God, oh God, what's happening to our nation that we're just throwing away our Bible laws? And, you know, when he made this proclamation, it was 60% of Americans believed in traditional marriage, and that was the only way. The day after he made the proclamation, it flip-flopped. It went to 40%. That's the power of a leader, influence. And so I was thinking, why aren't we praying? Why? And there was no prayer going on. There was nobody called a sacred assembly. I did. I said, everybody meet in my church. 7 o'clock. We need to pray about this. And like 5 people showed up. And they weren't even really into it. And didn't understand what we should do. I didn't even know what to do except, let's just get before God's throne and just lay before his throne and cry out to him. But here we have this worldwide crisis. And all these other things, the racial tensions, the political upheavals, the all this other stuff going on. And if there was ever a time that there should be calling forth of sacred assemblies, and we need to gather and pray. Churches need to be filled. Prayer meetings need to be filled. With the crises we're going through, the exact opposite happened. In fact, churches closed. And I understand, we closed for a season because of this pandemic. But we so easily just kind of like, okay, whatever, and put everything on hold, including prayer, when we should have been praying, if nothing else, somehow online and on Zoom and whatever. And even now, there are people, and I know some of you can't come into our meetings. You can't come to our services because of your situations, various different situations. I understand that. I'm so glad you're joining in with us online. But even that, we could have had prayer meetings. And you know, I really, really feel like, and this is happening, I think, among a whole bunch of pastors. I'm hearing this among believers. I'm hearing this among pastors. Maybe all this terrible stuff, in a way, God will turn around for good because it's making us desperate for him again. It's forcing us to our knees. And some are really feeling it now. Before we didn't feel it, everything was going really good. The economy was booming, and politically things looked great for a lot of conservative people. And we didn't feel the need to pray. But it's getting to the point where it's like we feel we gotta pray. And if we have to do it by Zoom and stuff, we gotta do it. And I know people, Zoom is a great tool because you can participate, you can pray, we can hear you and stuff. And I know some of you are like, I don't know how to do Zoom. I didn't know how to do it. And I don't like it. I like it in person. You know, I had to learn and figure all this out. And yet, for example, the pastor's prayer meetings, we couldn't meet in person anymore, so they went on Zoom, and I totally get it. I'm like, no, I don't want to. I already got a deal, learn Zoom and schedule and get the links out and all the stuff involved and then post it online. And I don't have time to participate in other prayer meetings on Zoom. So I get it. But then I got this hunger inside me and says, I got to get with my fellow pastors. It's been too long and the need is so great. I got to join in. So I began to join in with the pastor's prayer on Zoom. And I'm telling you, it fired me up. It got something going again. It's so good to be with other people, even if it's online. And a lot of them are like, where have you been? I've been in the cave like the rest of you. But it's so good to get back into fellowship, even if it has to be online. And I was sharing with another group of pastors that we met in person. We were sharing prayer requests. And I said, you know, pray for me because my church has gone from two Sunday services with Sunday school in between, Sunday night fire, and then midweek Bible study, and then conferences and revival meetings and special meetings, blah, 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 to... For a while, it was just one service Sundays. Then we went to the two, and then we got the Bible study going. But we've gone from this full schedule, lots of ministry, to just barely, because it takes so much energy. I don't think people realize what all is involved in getting stuff online and on the web. But we should be going to prayer like never before in these days of crisis. Now, I want to get back to our verse. And our verse talks about casting all our care upon Him. Casting all our care. You know what that word means in the Greek? I looked it up. I was, for some reason, that verse again jumped out at me. I said, I got to look at this in depth. And I found out that word to cast literally means to throw. Not just laying down, not, you know, just lay down your requests before God quietly or whatever. No, it says throw! Throw your requests, throw your care upon the Lord. Throw! And that's the aggressive nature of that word. In fact, it's the same word that here, which is mistranslated here, in the modern translations, Matthew 15:30 says, then great multitudes came to him, to Jesus, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others, and they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Those four guys, putting a guy through a roof, did not just lay down the needy person before the Lord. They threw somebody in front of Jesus. Heal him! And people were literally throwing themselves at Jesus. How about the woman with the bleeding? She's going through the crowd. She's like, you know, get me to Jesus. She threw herself at Jesus. And that's what he says, cast. And so the better translation, the old King James says it more like this, having them, the blind, mute, maimed, and many others, and they cast them down at Jesus' feet. And he healed them. That's how the old King James puts it. Now, I like Weymouth's translation. And he translates it this way. He says, soon great crowds came to him, bringing with them those who were crippled in feet or hands, blind or dumb, and many besides. And they hastened to lay them at his feet. And he cured them. So he got a little bit more of the feel of this. He hastened delay them. There was a desperation. There was a going after Jesus and going after the healing. And so, again, we need to understand this is what God invites us to do with Him. And we got a couple more scriptures to get the sense of this word, where Matthew 27:5 says, then he, talking about Judas, then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Remember when he turned Jesus in and they gave him 30 pieces of silver and he didn't expect things to go the way that they would arrest him and do everything they did, and they gave him the 30 pieces of silver. You think that he said, oh, now you guys can have it back. No, he threw it. He said, what are you doing? And he threw those pieces of silver. Just like in Acts 27:9, again, mistranslated, I think, in a lot of our modern translations. Then fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, Paul is on a ship that's in a storm, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for the day to come. No, they didn't drop the anchors. They threw those anchors overboard so that they wouldn't be completely swept out to sea. So that's what God invites us to do. Now, second word. So he cast, says, cast your care upon him. Let's talk about care, that word care. Cast your care upon him. That's the word. Now, here's where Pastor Joe doesn't make it simple. You know, throw a little Greek in here, you know, so I'm real impressed. So all my Bible scholar friends know I'm really smart. Oh, I know my Greek. I copied it straight out of my study Bible. So anyway. So the word merimna, which is translated care or anxiety, but really if you go to the root word, which is means through the idea of distraction, and you go to that word, the root word of that care is merizo, which means to divide, to separate into parts, to cut into pieces. So it's this idea of cutting, to divide. And what the Lord spoke to me through that is that we are to cast our divisions to the Lord. In other words, we are divided by all the various concerns going on in our lives. We're thinking about our kids. We're thinking about our money. We're thinking about our health. We're thinking, and all these things are dividing our attention, our cares. And we want to focus on Jesus more, and we want to be more focused on Jesus, but here's this situation, and here's this thing with our kids, and here's this at our job, and we're divided. You get that? And what Peter's saying is cast those divisions to the Lord. Those things that are dividing your attention from God. Those things that are distracting you from God. That's what that word cares means. In fact, we see in one of the parables that you're familiar with. Oh, by the way, here, Mark 3, it says, if a kingdom is divided, merizo, against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. That's the root word of care. And Matthew 13:22, now he who received seed among the thorns, remember the parable of the seed cast in different kinds of soil, the one that fell on the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. So here's the other sense of the division, the distraction, that word cares. And that's those things that take our passions, that divide up our passions. You know, we have a certain amount of passion in our hearts. And most of us, I believe, if you know the Lord, you want your passions to be towards God. You want to feel more in love with God. You want to be more focused on God. But then you have this desire for this thing over here. And you see this little shiny object over here. And then you see this over here. The cares of this world. And they divide your passion. They divide your heart. Well, God says, cast that to Him too. Throw it to Him. Throw it! Just say, God, I want to be more focused on you here. God, I want to be more focused on you, but I keep wanting to do this or I keep thinking about that. And, oh, God, here. Even if you don't feel it, lay it before the Lord. Throw it before the Lord. And let Him have it. Let Him take it so He can work in our hearts. I believe, you know what, too many of us are trying to put on a show for God and act, you know, righteous, or we're not righteous enough. Or you think He's fooled by any of your acts? Just come to Him and tell Him what's going on in your heart. He knows what's going on in your heart. Just be honest with Him. You can be straight. You don't have to play any games with God. You can just come to Him and say, God, I want to serve You, but I'm always thinking about this or that. Or God, help me to focus on You. I believe He hears those prayers. I believe that He honors those. And He gives you tools, and He fills your heart up with new things that'll cause you to be more focused on Him, not divided, when you cast your cares. Because you know what? That scripture says, cast all your care upon Him. Why? Yes. Cast your care upon Him, for He cares for you. He cares for you. He cares for you. He loves you. I love you, but nobody loves you like God. Okay? Your spouse may love you. Your kids may love you. Nobody loves you like God. And nobody cares about you more than God Himself. Oh, I wish Pastor cared for me more. I do care for you. I may not show it all the time, but I think about you guys all the time. I do. I'm always thinking about you. But He's thinking about you even more than that. In fact, a lot more than that. And so we can throw our cares upon Him because He does care for us. And this morning, a worship team, you guys can come on up. I just encourage you to cast your care upon Him. What's your care today? What thing is dividing you from God? What's dividing your passions? What's dividing your attention? What's dividing and distracting you? What's causing you to worry? That's causing you to get your mind off of God and is causing you to worry about this or that. What is it? What are those things? Maybe it's a bunch of things. Just lift that up to the Lord right now and just cast your care upon Him. And worship team, I want you to just play instrumental for a while. Just play nice and loud. And I want us to lift up and cast our cares upon Him. Throw our care upon Him. And you know what? The altars are open. I really encourage you, maybe come to these altars. There's something about making that move and just coming and kneeling in that desperation, as we talked about, throwing yourself in God's presence. Would you stand, please? Everybody, please stand. Those of you watching online, get on your face where you're at. You know, I have watched services on TV, and I've just fallen on my face right in front of the TV when I've been moved by God. And so if God's just really moving on your heart, you can respond. Can we bring the music down just a little bit? You guys keep playing. You play good. So, Father, I pray for each and every one today, whatever their concern is, whatever their care is, that they would be able to lay it before You and even cast it before You, Father God. And those who are online, God, that are struggling with something and their heart is divided, that they would be able to just throw those things before You in Jesus' name, hastening to lay before You whatever those needs are. Come on, church, let's come. Let's come to the altar. Some of you just need to cast your care. Just find a place at the altar in the front pew. And just respond to the Lord. I believe He does something when we respond to Him in that kind of physical way. Hallelujah. Maybe you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. I trust all of us in here do, but maybe you don't. And those of you watching online, again, we're just so honored that you're watching, but maybe you don't have that personal relationship with Jesus, that you feel like you can throw your concerns to Him. And you could. And when I was talking about how you just want to have a passion for Jesus and all these distractions, and you're like, I don't have a passion for Jesus, but I'm interested. And if you want a personal relationship with Jesus, it's very simple. I call it the ABC.
just need to know three things. A, B, C. A, admit you're a sinner, because we have all sinned. And this is the thing that divides us from God, is our sins. But the Bible says there's good news. He died on the cross for our sins. And so you admit you're a sinner, just like the scripture says, we humble ourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. So admit you're a sinner. B, believe. Believe that He's alive, because God is not, this is not a myth. This is for real. We have experienced God. Those of us who have a relationship with Him, we know Him. We've seen Him change our lives. We've seen Him transform our minds and our thinking and answers to prayer, etc. Believe. Believe that He's alive. And then C is confess Jesus as Lord. And say, you know what? You made me, God, and I'm done being Lord of my own life. I'm going to make you Lord, Jesus. That's what we need to do. And that's how we come into relationship with Him. The ABC. Admit you're a sinner, believe He's alive, and confess Jesus as Lord. So if you need to do that, we're going to pray real quick right now. And I invite everybody to join me in this prayer. And just to say this prayer with me out loud, even if you're a believer. Just to invite Jesus into your heart. So let's just say this right now. Lord Jesus, go ahead and say, Lord Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. And I need your forgiveness. So forgive me. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. And I believe that you rose again from the dead. And that you're alive.
That you are alive.
And I confess you.
I confess you
as Lord.
As Lord.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me and you made that decision today, this is a March 7th, 2021, could be the greatest birthday in your life, a new birth. Let us know about it on the comment section, or send us a message, or go to PortHuronAssembly.com and let us know there. And if anybody here, did anybody here pray that for the first time? Or you asked Jesus into your heart? Anybody? Because we celebrate with you. Did you have something?